And now, the Great American Folk Show, a little place on the radio where we commune with you to share stories, sing some songs, and talk to some good people with great voices. Stay with us over the next hour as we bring you musicians Michael Gay, Soraya, and Mark Irelli, poets Chad Peel and Madeline Cameron. We'll hear from actress, writer, photographer Noelle Wells, plus Bill Palahniuk on Ukrainians in North Dakota. Selena Gooden reads from her acclaimed new book, Mrs. Death, Mrs. Death, and Notes from the Badlands by Joe Wiegand. I'm Tom Brousseau. It's good to have you with us. In 2019, I went to the Americana Music Awards at the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville, Tennessee. If you've never been to the Ryman, put it on your list. It's one of our nation's greatest music artifacts, a fantastic venue for live music. Up on the stage performing that night was Mark Irelli. His song, By Degrees, was nominated for Song of the Year, a powerful, beautiful composition written to end gun violence. Let's listen to a little bit of it now.
Oh, I can't bring myself to tell you that you can learn to live with anything. When it happens by degrees.
I've had the pleasure of knowing Mark Irelli since the early 2000s in Boston, Massachusetts, because of Cindy Howes in a radio show she hosted back then on WERS called The Coffee House, a really influential program. Cindy played lots of singer-songwriters, established ones like Ellis Paul and Katie Curtis and Peter Mulvey. And she put the spotlight on the up-and-comers too, like Rachel McCartney and Antje Duvkot and Ryan Montbleu, really great performers. Mark Irelli is an essayist, a producer, and a prolific songwriter, and he's here to perform two original compositions from an album he released last year called Blindsided. The first one is Stranger's Eyes, and the second one is A Little Kindness.
Watch you go about your days in your ordinary haze, like there's nothing wrong. I worry about our prognosis, you don't even notice we're barely holding on to this love. It used to be so strong, now I feel so all alone, wondering where we went wrong. And after all this time, I thought maybe you could read my mind, but you look at me with a stranger's eye. We said for better or worse, now we're running in reverse, falling out of love. And honey, I can't tell, is there someone else or am I not enough for you anymore? But I'm the same I always been, and if you figure me out once, baby, maybe you can learn to love me again. And after all this time, I thought maybe you could read my mind, but you look at me. With a stranger's eyes. Time can be a thief and leave you blinded. Maybe all we need is to be reminded. I thought maybe you could. Watch you look at me with a stranger's eyes. You look at me with a stranger's eye, with a stranger's beside me in joy and in despair. Now I need something to lean on, but you're not here. There's an evil wind blowing, I feel it in my bones. I don't know where I'm going or how to get back. I've been looking for a little kindness, but it's hard to find. Looking for a little kindness, and it's hard to find these days. If I could go back where we started, would the sun be shining still? Now I only see a darkness, holes that can't be filled. And all the things that brought me comfort, they just seem tired and worn. What always used to work ain't working anymore. I've been looking for a little kindness, but it's hard to find. Looking for a little kindness, and it's hard to find these days. So hard to find. All I've learned from growing old is how to carry all I've lost. But I don't know how to pick up where you left off. Maybe I should just stop talking and let the music fade. You always seemed to know when there was nothing more to say. I've been looking for a little kindness, but it's hard to find. Looking for a little kindness, and it's hard to find these days. Looking for a little kindness, but it's hard to find. Looking for a little kindness, and it's hard to find these days. So hard to find.
Mrs. Death, Mrs. Death is Selena Godin's acclaimed new book, published earlier this year in January by Canon Gate Books. It's garnered much positive steam from critics, but more importantly, it's cherished by many readers the world over, and I'm one of them. I think the book is remarkable. It's about an individual named Wolf Wilford, an East London poet struggling to find a sense of place in the world. Within the first few pages, we learn of a terrible hardship that befell Wolf at an early age, which resulted in a most uncommon, extraordinary companionship. The ensuing pages are more or less a collaboration of the narrator, Wolf Wilford, and Mrs. Death. Quote, "The woman who is the boss at the end of all of us." The audiobook of Mrs. Death. Mrs. Death is now available. It's read by Selena Gordon. In a moment, we'll listen to a snippet. But visit the Great American Folk Show page at prairiepublic.org, and you will find a trove more to explore. And I hope that you do.
It is your job, your only job, to seek out and support and nurture heroes. This is all your responsibility. We can all do our part in the chain to help others to help others, to help the others who help the others, who inspire and help the others. Find the others. You are losing your libraries, museums, galleries, independent bookshops, pubs, and music venues. So the beautiful spaces where thinkers and writers and artists could meet and share work and gather and blossom and dream are being erased. The survival of the hero is up to you all now. It is important, now more than ever, to fight for all of this, to fight for your rights, for your freedoms, for art, poetry, and music. Because you all need to be heroes, to step up, to speak up, to support each other. It is all about kindness, and you need the doers and the creators. You must pay attention to the ones who listen and hear and do and can and will and share. And to the people of science and art, books and music. Otherwise, what is the actual point of all of this? What was the point? Why are you all here if not for that? You are here for love, to share the love. When hate is rising, then love can only rise higher. We stare deeply now into the charcoals of winter and watch the last flames lick the chimney. The fires leave the sky and dance into the everything. All the warmth and all the joy is boiled in a soup of memory. We stir the good stuff from the bottom of the pot and hold the ladle up. Drink, we say. Look at all the good chunks of goodness. Take in your share of good times, good music, good books, good food, good laughter, good people. Be grateful for the good stuff, life and death. We say drink.
We go to the land of 10,000 lakes now. There's a songwriter living there named Michael Gay. He's releasing an album this year in June. Make It Right, it's called. And he joins us with two brand new songs, Long Cold Winter and Make It Right, plus a thing or two about trains.
Hey everyone, Michael Gay here, coming to you from my basement in northeast Minneapolis. I like to spend as much of my free time as possible just hanging out with my pals, but you know, 2020 wasn't really a great year for hanging out, so I spent a little more time just walking around my neighborhood, because I find I come up with my favorite ideas for songs when I'm just doing other stuff, and, you know, walking's a good way to stay occupied. Anyway, I live right next to a big train yard, and the main lines run two blocks away from my front door, and I used to not really think about them too much, but this year I got a little more curious and went over there a little more and started looking at maps and stuff, and you know, it's funny because the more I learned about those trains, the more I felt connected to the world outside my neighborhood. I started thinking about the little towns where they would stop traffic in a few hours and where stuff was getting picked up and dropped off. And at this point, I'm not really sure how I ignored them for so long, but I came to realize I just didn't have a reason to try and appreciate them and just saw them as an inconvenience by default, getting annoyed when I'd have to wait for them in my car or when my house shook at night. But at this point, if I had to move tomorrow, that's probably one of the things I'd miss the most about living here. I guess what I'm saying is, if something's bumming you out, it can really just help to think about the big picture, because there's Certainly a lot of beauty to be found in strange places, and I think it's good to realize when you've grown, and it's fun to surprise yourself. In general, I just know I like life a little better when I'm finding new ways to appreciate normal stuff, and I think that's one of the things I like most about writing a song, is trying to connect the dots, make sense of things, and just, you know, relate to the world around me a little better. Anyway, I've talked enough. I'll get to the singing part here, so thanks for listening to me ramble, and here's a couple that I wrote. It's 9 below, and my pipes are freezing. I wish I was somewhere summer breezing. Instead, I'm on my dang hands and knees and trying to thumb with an old hair dryer. Just last night, I near broke my neck. I was shoveling snow. I forgot to check if the ice below was still slick as heck. Turns out it was. It's been a long, cold winter, and I'm not having any fun. It's been a long, cold winter, and I'm counting down the days until it's done. See, it's mostly dark and it's always cold. You get used to feeling about twice as old. Box wine and TV and staying home, that's a pretty good Friday night. But on the flip side, you get real tough. Forget you ever even used to sweat small stuff. And when getting's hard, going's rough, you know you can endure. 'Cause it's been a long, cold winter, and I'm not having any fun. It's been a long, cold winter, and I'm counting down the days until it's done. And I ain't dead yet, and they say that makes you stronger, but it's hard to tell. I mostly feel the same, and sometimes think I can't take this much longer. But it's hard to picture living any other way without these long, cold winters. And I'm not having any fun without these long, cold winters. When I'm counting down the days until it's done, 'cause I need these long, cold winters. I need not having any fun. So bless these long, cold winters, 'cause they've made me into who I have become. When it's 9 below and my pipes are freezing, I wish I was somewhere summer breezing. Instead, I'm on my dang hands and knees and trying to thumb with an old hair dryer. Feeling that I'm headed for disaster. And baby acts like she can't see, but nothing's getting past her. The ice I'm standing on, it's thin, I'll soon be put to pasture. And I'm doing what I can to make it right. See, I'm good at making messes, big talk and second guesses. Living in my head too much and taking my sweet time. And I'm prone to act the fool and then try to play cool. When I'm doing what I can to make it right. Already heard the other hit. Now I'm doing what I can to make it right. I keep selling, they're just spit shine pulp romances. You can ask my friends, they'll all agree I'm out of second chances. And I can point to where it all went wrong, draw the play by play in the ashes, where I was doing what I knew to make it right. Now I'm doing what I can to make it right.
Madeline Camrude was featured on the second broadcast we ever did of the Great American Folk Show almost a year ago. She's a poet, and she's back with That Other April. It's so wonderful to have you again, Madeline. Thanks for being here.
It's April, and again I think of T.S. Eliot's famous line, April is the cruelest month. Comes from his long poem called The Wasteland, which was written after the First World War and the flu of 1918. So his vision of the world was that of dissolution and spiritual drought. But I think of April 18th, 1997, the flood in Grand Forks that gave new meaning to the words. April for us was the cruelest month that year. Just this past winter, when I had a lot of time to write, I wrote a prose poem, just a brief poem about that time of the flood. Not to revel in difficult times, they are over, but simply to remember, because I do believe that history has value. It's a brief poem, a prose poem, called That Other April. It swallows us, swallows the house, swallows the windows and shutters. It's all going under. The years frozen in a mirror hanging over the buffet. 2 a.m. My husband and I rush downstairs. Water crosses the lawn in a torrent of snowmelt. Who can say how a spring like this will play out? The morning dawn's gray. Crows look down at us from high branches and caw. their bad advice. Water brown. We cross the street in knee boots. Don't talk about the house left behind us. Carry out fridge food in a cooler. Gripping handles either side, he one, I the other. The way my sister and I carried pails of water for calves. I have no sense of worry. Could be watching us in a movie. As we take ourselves from the scene, one frame at a time, one foot ahead of the other, we push the weight of water like swimmers. Our lives, he says, will never be the same. Too old to start over. I'm not sure I agree, but understand, a day later, the whole town underwater. Downtown burns, his office, the law firm. Our only mission that first morning is save lettuce, tomatoes, milk, eggs, and butter. The kind of thing life tends to be about. Something to eat. Water you can count on. In a world we can't seem to keep from turning.
I want to ask you something, dear listener. Borscht. When's the last time you had a bowl of borscht? I had mine last month in Fargo, North Dakota, at a place called Birnbaum's, and Lord, was it delicious. I can't remember having a soup that tasted so good. Though, admittedly, I didn't really know what to expect at first. The color of it was so vibrantly red. But beets are good for you. Borscht can easily be made at home in the kitchen, with or without meat. You will need a soup pot. As for the ingredients, and a good recipe, I'm going to leave that one up to Bill Palinuk from Fairfield, North Dakota. His mother wrote a book called Ukrainians in North Dakota in Their Voices, and Bill's going to share a bit from it. It's all you, Bill.
Thank you, Tom. We appreciate the time here on the Great American Folk Show. There are so many layers to the Ukrainian culture. But God always comes first. Before immigrants would build a home for themselves, they would build a church while living in a hole in the earth covered by their wooden wagons. Yet woven into the thread of our heritage are holiday traditions, song and dance, visual arts, and of course, authentic cuisine, of which we will feature one element today. Agnes Polinik came from a very large family consisting of 11 children. Agnes being the youngest, and her sister Katie was the oldest. We begin our tour of the book Ukrainians in North Dakota in Their Voices with an excerpt titled Sister Katie's Legacy to Her Ukrainian Culture. Agnes wrote, "If the color of the soup and the texture has body, and the taste is a marriage between the vegetables and the meat, it very likely is Katie's borscht. So famous is her borscht, it received the attention of a nationally televised morning show where a nationwide audience received a visual taste. Katie's culinary development began many years ago, cooking on a coal range in cast iron pots, standing on her tiptoes to do the stirring. She was the firstborn, and her mother Polly's role was helping Dad in the field. I was 8 years old when I cooked, washed clothes, and baked bread 3 times a week," relates Katie. Many years later, Mother took Katie's hands and said, "These hands worked hard. They know a lot." That was an excerpt from the book Ukrainians in North Dakota in Their Voices, written by Agnes Polinik. And the tradition of making homemade borscht continues to this day. Although Katie's borscht recipe continues to be a secret, other recipes have circulated over the generations, handed down from various members of each family. However, most of the main ingredients remain the same even to this day. Beets, cabbage, potatoes, carrots, onions, tomato paste, water or broth, and beef or beans are optional. If you choose to add them, ribs, soup bones, or any cut with a bit of fat is best. Then, any large white red kidney beans or pinto beans are added. Which Ukrainian family makes the best borscht soup? That is a question that has been attempted to be answered for centuries and to this day is still being asked. Perhaps the most accurate answer is, there is no wrong answer. For information and to see some of our favorite borscht recipes, as well as information on ordering the book written by Agnes Polonik, find Ukrainians in North Dakota on Facebook or send an email to bill@ukrainianND.org. I'm Bill Polonik. Thank you so much for listening. Perhaps we will get together again soon with more information on Ukrainians in North Dakota.
Noelle Wells is our next guest, and I've just got to say, right out of the gate, her creativity is inspiring. She's an actress and a photographer, a songwriter, and filmmaker. She's best known for her debut feature film that she wrote, directed, and starred in, Mr. Roosevelt, a comedy about reconciling the past. It takes place in Austin, Texas, over a couple of days. And in that time, the main character, Emily Martin, really manages to turn things around and set a few things right, not only for herself, but a few others too, including her ex-boyfriend, who's played by Nick Thune. It's got a lot of humor to it, and a little heartbreak too. It's on Netflix, and I highly recommend it. And though you may know her from her on-screen work, I first met Noelle in her role as songwriter and singer. I shared the bill with her at a show in a church, and I remember it fondly. She played a classical guitar. She was seated at the mic on the stage. She was wearing a red sweater, and in her hair was a little bow. And all eyes were on her. I'm telling you, the room was dead quiet. Last year, she started an original performance series, Singing from Her Car, and today that's exactly where she'll be visiting with us from, parked on a street, somewhere in sunny Los Angeles, California. It is a pleasure, and I know you're all really gonna love Noelle Wells.
Hello, Tom Brousseau. This is Noelle Wells. I am currently in my car. It is February 7th, and we are going to start with a song called Happy Song. Baby, I've wandered, and baby, I've wandered away. I woke up wanting to be stronger today. Hey, and I tried to. Ooh, ooh, ooh. and I've walked the earth on my hands and knees, and I'm ready to stand and walk to be free. I am currently parked off Nichols Canyon in a little piece of land called the Trebek Open Space. So there are people around, which is why we heard somebody scream football. It is football Sunday. A little bit about the cartoon series. I started a series a couple months ago called Cartoons, where I play songs in my car in different locations and I post them to Instagram. And it basically started because I was looking to sing loudly, and I was feeling like anytime I was singing loudly in my apartment, my neighbors could hear me, and I was feeling very uncomfortable that we'd have all been stuck inside for over 9 months hearing each other, and I'm sure they are not too happy hearing me play the same songs over and over and over again. And I also found that the sound on the car was kind of fun, and I was really enjoying the contained element of it. And then it was actually kind of a way for me to interact with the environment, which I haven't really been able to do since the pandemic, obviously. When you're in your car and you park in different places, there are outside elements that you can't control. People are driving by, people are honking, there's wildlife, there's a guy yelling football. So it was adding another element to the performance that felt a little bit akin to a hermetically sealed live performance. So it's not very comfortable playing in the car, but then that's also become kind of the fun of it, contorting the instrument, figuring out how much you can crack the window, how you can sort of bend to fit into the space, and figure out how to keep playing a song that you've learned how to play more comfortably. And with that, here's a second song. I think I'm going to do a song called Death Song, aka Golden Years.
Oh, my darling, I am dying. This ache inside my heart is finding its way into my days. I cannot hide the shame any longer. I was shaken for truth, but now I see as bad as it could be. These are the golden years. I've walked in shallow waters, never thinking that I was strong enough to cross the tide. Now I'm caught and sent to the ocean. I'm losing my golden days. I just tried to take a stand while others fled to promised lands. I did what I should. Now I'm an enemy. You say to live by what is right and keep on pushing through the night. I'm tired. Lost my grounding. If I stop trying, would you come round me? I've prayed for solace, and now I'm finding myself lost. It's all played apart. These are the golden years.
So while I was playing that song, a guy who was walking stopped and came and looked. So it's kind of fun. I just gave like a little performance. I don't know where he went though.
Shad Peel is a cowboy poet and prairie musician. And I discovered him, well, because I try to read a poem every day, and eventually I came across one of his poems called Sweetheart of the Rodeo, and I carried it around in my back pocket for a long time. In fact, it's still back there. Let's see if I can remember it. The devices on my shafts were hearts, one torn in two, the other red and full, a romantic take, I thought, metaphor for rodeo and love's fits and starts. Back when I could spur the baddest buckers, I wrote on the rolls of my Salisbury 606 rough out cack an inscription, something from Ezra Pound, the translation from the Latin on a medieval sword. If your heart fails you, trust not in me. Oh, words to live by, to say that you are scared, and nothing wrong in that, but to flee in the face of chance. Come on, cowboy, roll 'em, shake your face and let 'em have you. Today, he'll be unveiling a brand new poem with a little talk behind it, how it all came about. It's Shad Peel on the Great American Folk Show.
As a poet, I wish I were a faster worker, more prolific, but in poetry, as in everything else, you need to work with the abilities and skills that you have. And so I find myself spending an awful lot of time, thinking about different topics, subjects, what I want to say about them, how I want to say it. And for me, that's also the pleasure of poetry, is that process, the work of it. So this is a poem about the work of poetry. It's also a poem about where I currently live. We're lucky enough to live in the heart of the world, in the Heart River Valley west of Mandan, in particular on Crown Butte Creek. And recently we had some beaver move onto the creek, and it's caused a certain dilemma. They create great habitat, improve the water quality, but do an awful lot of damage, take down an awful lot of trees. So I was thinking of this, wanted to write about it, but really wasn't getting much where in terms of how to start, what I wanted to bring to it. But a friend of mine, another poet from Florida, Sean Sexton, was writing about nature poetry, and he had in this email made the statement, "So much of nature is beauty lost in the wilderness of time and space." And I thought, now there's a good line, and I think I can get started with that. So this poem is "All You Need Is a Good Line" for Sean Sexton. All you need to do is find a good line to start a poem. Tack another one plumb below the first. It is a bit like art, a bit like carpentry, a bit like life, or a lot like, but often not enough. So much of nature is beauty lost in the wilderness of time and space. Behind the house, on the sly, the beavers ceaselessly toil to change the course and flow of Crown Butte Creek, the watershed of our place. With that beaver work, the horses could not cross to winter feed and shelter. Yesterday, I rode them bareback in a storm around the swollen creek. Substance and form.
Soraya is an entrancing performer. A beautiful voice, gorgeous songwriting, and always a smile. I got to know her from the open mic at Twig's Coffee Shop in San Diego, California. That was in 2001. Twig's had a nice little stage all painted in green. The Green Room, it was called, with enough chairs for an audience of about 75. A guy named Johnny Chickalela ran the door, Johnny C. And how it went was, you signed up on the open mic list, and when the positions filled, the names were cut out, put into a big top hat, and drawn at random. And you got about 10 minutes on stage to do your thing. Some people got up and read poetry, and some sang duets, and some played the guitar. One time, a girl toted up a hammer dulcimer, and nobody in the room had ever seen one of those things before. What ancient tones it made. But performers like that were rare. Most of us were there to showcase our songwriting abilities, and there was naturally a little bit of competition, but it was always a lot of fun. There was an upright piano in the corner, and that's what Soraya would sometimes play. She was a crowd favorite. And so, it is a pleasure to introduce to you Soraya. And I'm going to spell her name for you right now, because I know you're going to want to check her out. It's S-U-R-R-I-J-A, Soraya.
Growing up, my dad had a karaoke machine for entertaining friends. I used to refuse to sing in front of people as a kid. I was afraid of showing my voice because I really loved singing, and that would risk exposing a dream. It's a delicate thing, you know, a child's dream. So for years, I used the machine only when everyone was out. One day, while they were out, I sang, and when I was done, I turned around, and my dad and brother were standing right there. We froze. One of them, and I don't remember which, said, "Do that again." So I did. When I was done, someone mumbled, "Okay," and I bolted upstairs. Years later, I was graduating with a music degree. My dad and I had had a falling out and weren't speaking, but everyone came into town for the graduation, so I set up a little show at Twigs in San Diego to share who I was in music. Most of them sat somewhere in the middle of the room. Mom and Dad were in the back row. Everyone cheered at the end of songs except my parents. They never clapped that whole night. Now, fast forward years later, I had just finished my 10 minutes at Lestat's open mic. A woman came up and said, "Hey, my daughter wants to meet you." I said, "Of course." She was 8, half Thai, half Dutch, a kind face. We talked about music, life, dreams, and I got the feeling that it was her first time seeing someone who looked like her up on a stage doing something that people who looked like us don't usually do. She saw something on that stage and wanted to know more. She was brave, open, curious, and far older than her age. That conversation stayed with me for years. I still think about it, and I've never gotten over the difference. The difference between playing for people who made me, who's known me my whole life, and a little stranger who was 8 and dreaming. That night, I vowed to myself that I'd grow up and keep her in me to have access to the child self always. I took a break from music for a number of years, around 2011, and when I decided to release a new record in 2020, I also decided to take up her name as the new music project and a lifelong reminder. Wherever she is today, I am so grateful. Her name is Soraya.
Is it safe in here? I think I need fire. With a man whose eyes are warriors, 1,000 men whose hands felt in a summer. Now the cold stabs him like a thorn. It's no more than cold, dear. The winter sun's never quite warm enough, so let me. It's no more than snow, dear. You're holding me ransom, so why don't you fight me? All those fireflies will light the way this night. So to see all that pushing, dragging you. Keep your curtains close, I'll tap your temples. And I know you're fine in your sorrows, 'cause it's true. Takes time to become the one you never knew. It's no more than fright, dear. It's all the same when you got something to lose here. It's no more than pain, then has it ever been easy to find a way to safety? All those fireflies will light the way this night. So to see all y'all that pushing, dragging you
Joe Wiegand is a regular on the Great American Folk Show. Every episode features his notes from the Badlands, and it's always flecked with such goodness. A historian, a great outdoors enthusiast, a touring performer, this summer he'll be in the western North Dakota town of Medora, reprising his signature role as 26th President of the United States, Theodore Roosevelt, at the Old Town Hall Theater. And what good fun it is. More information on that can be found at medora.com. And so we conclude today's broadcast with Joe Wiegand.
In early April 1903, President Theodore Roosevelt left Washington, D.C. for an 8-week, 14,000-mile journey by train through 22 states and 2 territories. Along the way, T.R. would lay the cornerstone for a new archway entrance to Yellowstone National Park in Gardner, Montana. Atop what would eventually be known as Roosevelt Arch appear the words, "For the benefit and enjoyment of the people." In California, of his night camping with John Muir among Yosemite's Mariposa Grove of giant sequoias, T.R. wrote, "It was like lying in a great solemn cathedral, far vaster and more beautiful than any built by the hand of man." At Arizona Territory's Grand Canyon, T.R. would admonish his fellow citizens, "Leave it as it is. You cannot improve on it. The ages have been at work on it, and man can only mar it." His words in Medora, North Dakota, April 7, 1903, are remembered still. "My friends and neighbors, I am very glad to see you all. I made up my mind that come what would, I would have to have a chance to stop at Medora. I first came to Medora 20 years ago, so I am a middling old settler. I meet boys, great big strapping men, and mothers of families who were children about 3 feet high when I knew them here. It is a very pleasant thing for me to see you. I shall not try to make you but a very short talk, because I want to have a chance to shake hands with you. Most all of you are old friends. I have stopped at your houses and shared your hospitality. With some of the men, I have ridden guard around the cattle at night, worked with them in the roundup, and hunted with them, so that I know them pretty well. It is the greatest possible pleasure to me to come back and see how you are getting along, to see the progress made by the state, to see the progress made at this end in the place that I know so well. And it just does me good to come here and see you. There is not a human being who is more proud of what you have done and more pleased with your welfare and progress than I am."
The Great American Folk Show would like to thank Mark Irelli, Selena Godin, Michael Gay, Noel Wells, Bill Palinuk, Madeline Camrude, Shad Peel, Soraya, and Joe Wiegand. Opening theme by Sean Watkins in Los Angeles, California, and theme by Burkham Boys in Council Bluffs, Iowa. Eric Dethridge is the producer and editor of the show, and Bill Thomas, he's the director. This program was made possible in part by an endowment from the Lorak family. On the next Great American Folk Show, it'll be a great one. Father and daughter duo, Music Across the Water. Singer and songwriter, Ben Suki. Ragtime guitar player great from Portland, Oregon, Mary Flower. Joe Wiegand with Notes from the Badlands and more. I'm Tom Brousseau. May you always find the sun until we meet again.